Thanks again for listening to our podcast. To hear more messages like this, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for other episodes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it and share it with friends. For more info or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. Remember, in Christ Jesus, we are one family in faith.
Excited about what God is doing in your life right now. Amen. See, I need to preach a little bit and raise the level of faith and then ask the question again. How many is excited about what God is doing in your life right now? Amen. 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 We're getting there. We went from like low to medium. We're going to get high. We're going to get high by the turn to somebody and say, we're going to get high by the end of the service. Not a bet. This is like a Holy Ghost high, okay? All right. Don't worry about it. All right, let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, that you would touch us today. Lord, your presence is already evident in this place, and we thank you for that. We pray that you would continue to do what you've begun. And God, speak to us, God, things that will refresh us, that will cause us to be successful, that will cause us to overcome in every way, in every circumstance, in every season. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This tea must be super hot because it's got like two cups on it. And it's got like, there's a napkin around it. It's like, this is like the invisible, like, Pastor, please don't burn yourself. All right, I'm going to take this thing off of here and I'm just going to test my faith here. The smoke is rising off of this thing. It's like, I could probably like a little hot dog or something. And all right. Last week, we started discussing a topic that's so important right now. In a world in 2020 that's saying the economy is going to the trash, the health, we're in pandemic, the future is bleak, I want to tell you God has a different vision for our future. How many believe that God has a different vision for your future today? So God gave us this word and we started to explore it a little bit last week, and it is ending well. That God wants us to end well. Just say that with me, ending well. This concept that we need to end well, that God actually wants us, he desired and he designed us, no matter what's going on in the world, to actually to end well. We see it in the Bible. We see it through the word of God that Isaac, he sowed in a time of famine. God gave him 100-fold return. Egypt is in famine. They're having plagues. They're having health issues, finances. The economy is all over the place, but he blesses his people. God's design for you is to end well. Are you starting to believe that? Or is your faith getting a little higher today? God wants you to end well. No matter what anything else is going on outside of the doors of this church, God wants you and your family to end well. God wants this church, this group of people, amen? God wants his church to end well. And so that's what God has sent me to tell you today, that I'm going to keep on saying it until we get it so deep in our spirit that we start living it. Look at somebody and say, I'm going to end well. Amen. Say, that's what you should be hearing when you come to church, the good news. Let me tell you something. Anything that's got Jesus in it is good news. All right, so let's go to 2 Timothy 4:7. It's pretty hot. 2 Timothy 4:7. All right, this is what the Apostle Paul said. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Somebody needs to hear that today. Say it with me. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, we know this can apply to the end of our life. We understand that applies to the ultimate when we end our life and we're saying, I finished my race, I kept the faith. But how many know that this can apply to you right now in the race you're running, in the season that you're in right now, that you can proclaim and declare this over your life? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. The people of God are not meant to be over in the corner in a fetal position in fear. God has called you to fight the good fight, to finish the race, to keep the faith. So no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in the news, no matter what's going on in politics, I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to keep the faith. Because that's what the Bible shows me what to do. The Bible shows me how to overcome so I can end well. So, when I was, I'm going to get some hard singing today, so we got to. When I was younger, my dad decided to teach me how to run. I was a little kid, and my dad said, I'm going to teach you how to run. And I've seen some people run, and sometimes people are running wrong. You see them in movies, and you say, that person in real life is not running really fast. That's the wrong. That person is not running the race. My dad said, I'm going to teach you how to run. I was just a boy, and so he takes me out. And a lot of times our family, our dad and our mom are bigger than life, and we look and we think, oh, man, they're so wonderful. They're so great. Well, my dad actually was a track star. So he actually did, track and field was his thing, you know. He qualified for the Olympics and the triple jump. So he knew a couple of things about, and so I'm going to break character. Normally I don't talk about sports analogies because growing up and my dad being a preacher, I heard so many sports analogies that, but I'm going to break character right now. He took me to teach me how to run. And so he taught me how to move my arms, how to move my hands, how to lean into the stride, how to point my feet. He taught me a bunch of wonderful things in how to run. But one thing that really always stuck out to me was when you reach the end of the race, you have to actually run faster than you're running before. So you never end the race at the same speed or slower than you started, right? And actually, if you watch this on TV and you watch great racers, you watch national champions, Olympic athletes, they always, you watch them at the end of the race, they're running as hard as they can run at the end. They're not running slower. They're not running the same speed. So you finish faster. You run harder. How does that apply to 2020 and to December for us? Well, I want to tell you by the Spirit, December is a time for you to run harder, for you to run faster, to stand on the Word of God more than you have the whole year, because God has something in store that He wants to release for you in this season. There's some stuff you've been praying for all year long that God wants to give you your breakthrough right in the last leg of the race. If you'll just push a little bit harder, if you'll just run a little bit stronger, if you'll double down on the Word of God, God wants to make some miracles happen in your life. Look at somebody and say, I'm not giving up. I'm going to run the race. You end well by giving your best at the end of the race. Now, you might have had a good start, bad start in January at the beginning of the year. The middle of the year might have been some difficulties, some setbacks, some hardships. But at the end of the race, however your year looked, you need to double down. This is for everybody. You need to be running faster. You need to be praying harder. You need to be in the Word of God. You need to be standing on faith like never before, because God wants to give you breakthrough. There are some things that you've been asking God to do. This is not the time to slow down. It's not the time to say, well, you know what? I'm just going to concede this race, and I'm just going to, you know what, next year, I'm going to win in 2021. No. Now's the time. God is saying it's time to run faster. Where in our life do we need to push a little harder in this last leg of the race? Where do I, put your hand on your chest, where do I need to push a little harder? Because God wants you to end on a high note. I don't know about you, but I didn't go through this year. I didn't go through difficulties and see my brothers and sisters go through difficulties and see setbacks and see people lose their jobs to come out on the other side in last place. If I got to go through something, come on, somebody give me an amen. If I got to go through something, I'm coming out with a victory. I'm coming out with, if the devil's going to make you go through it, you may as well come out with the gold. Somebody needs to have the attitude that children of Israel had when they were in Egypt. They said, man, if we're going to go through this, Moses had to stir them up, of course. If we're going to go through this, we may as well come out as the victors. And do you know, they left the most financial, the nation that was the strongest economy. They left and it said they spoiled the Egyptians. They came out with the gold. They came out with the silver. They came out with the stuff. Ladies, they came out with the clothes. They might have even came out with shoes and handbags. I don't know. God wants you to come out of this year as the victor. In this race, though, you have to be consistent. Come on, say it with me, consistent. Another word for that is faithful. And I love to talk about faithfulness. I like to talk about the faithfulness of God, the principle of faithfulness, the law, the spiritual law of faithfulness that operates in our life. Last week, we actually talked about Galatians 6:7, and we talk about don't be misled. God has a certain way that he does things, right? If you sow, you'll reap. Don't expect to reap where you haven't sowed. If you want to reap something, then you got to sow the right thing. If you're reaping the wrong thing, then maybe you sowed the wrong thing. There's this system that God, it's a spiritual system. God's kingdom operates by certain laws and principles. So don't misunderstand. If you want to harvest something at the end of the year, you got to be sowing the right things right now. You got to, whether it's relational, whether it's financial, whether it's, you know, managing the open doors that God gives you, whatever it is, that you're sowing the right thing. So now let's take this concept of sowing and reaping, this spiritual law that we understand, regardless of if we believe it or not. It's in operation over our lives. It's in operation just as much as the law of gravity. We have the law of sowing and reaping. And then we take the law, the spiritual principle and law of faithfulness. I like to see not just how a spiritual principle operates by itself, but actually also how a spiritual principle operates with other spiritual principles. What happens when we join these two things together? Let's take the concept of sowing and reaping and add it to the spiritual principle of faithfulness. Let's add these two laws together. Because sometimes it's not enough to know just how one thing in the spirit works by itself. You have to know how these things interact with each other. How do these spiritual principles work together? If you want a perpetual harvest, you need to be a perpetual sower. Whatever type of harvest that you want to have in your life, perpetually, you need to be perpetually sowing. It's funny, but the Bible says it like this, right? First the natural, then the spiritual. We look at the natural and we get a glimpse into how things work in the spiritual. So if we look at a farmer doesn't just go out and sow one time and expect for there to be a harvest every single year. He instead sows every season so that he can reap every season, right? And so we look at the Word of God. Jesus used agriculture actually to teach a lot of spiritual concepts. And we see that. Farmer doesn't go out just once. He goes out every single season. And if we want to have a harvest season after season, we need to be planting, we need to be sowing season after season. Now, this is how the principle of faithfulness interacts with the principle of sowing and reaping. Jesus said, if you'll be faithful in a little, he'll make you ruler over much, right? In Matthew 25, 23, he's telling us the story of these three servants, and he gives these different talents to the three different servants, and they steward them, and then he comes back and he commends two of the three and says, you've been faithful, so now, even though you had little, now you're going to be blessed with much, right? If you've been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. Listen to this exponential principle. You are faithful in a little. Now you're a ruler. So they weren't a ruler over little things. They went from just being faithful over a few things to ruler over many things. So spiritual concepts like this are exponential. It's like you're not even doing addition anymore. And a lot of times you're not even doing multiplication. It's exponential. So God wants to show us that if we'll be faithful over what you have in your life right now, that God can take that, God can take the seed that's in your life, even if you're looking at your life and saying, I don't have the provision, I don't have the harvest, if you'll realize that God has already put the seed in your hand, he's put the seed in your life, he's put the seed somewhere in your possession right now, and if you'll be faithful in the little things, God will make you ruler over much. But a lot of times we miss this concept. God gives us, just like the parable of the talents, something in our hand to steward. But we don't understand that God's going to come back and look and say, how did you invest what I gave you? How did you steward? Isn't that what he asked the three servants? He came back and said, how did you steward this? What was the return on what I gave you? And the funny thing is, the parable of the talents, a lot of times we get this confused. The talents were not giftedness. The talents were money. Talents was a type of money. And so he gave this denomination of money. So he gives this different denominations to the three servants, depending on their ability. And then he comes back and he looks, how did they steward it? So whenever we come back and we pray, God is saying, well, how did you steward what I gave you? How did you steward your relationships? How did you steward your finances? How did you steward your abilities? How did you steward what I placed in your hands right now? And so if God places it in your hands, he will come back and ask you, how did you steward it? Did you invest it? Did you spend it? Did you consume it? Did you sit on it? He asked us all that question. These three servants, that's any one of us. We could be the one that brings an amazing return. We could be the one that brings a medium-sized return. We could be the one that brings absolutely no return. When we get back into the presence of God and we come, get this, and we ask God, God, help me. Do you know what a lot of times he asks us? What did you do with what I gave you? God, bless me financially. Well, what did you do with the finances I gave you? God, give me good friends. Well, what did you do with the friends that I gave you? Because although God is a great God, God is a merciful God, God is a just God. He's going to say, what have you done? What have you done with what I gave you? Did you sow it? Did you invest it? If we want to end well, we have to sow well, consistently. I don't want to just sow when I feel like it. I don't want to just sow when I'm desperate. I want to sow, the Bible says, God wants to bless us that we're able to be generous on every occasion. How many would like to be able to be generous on every occasion? And so even if you're not, you're able to, right? There's sometimes I go up and somebody says, would you like to give to the XYZ? And I was like, well, I don't know those people. I don't know that charity. I'm sorry. I've already given over here. But I have the ability to be generous on every occasion. How many would like the ability to be generous on every occasion? So I don't want to just give when I feel like sowing. I'm kind of on a spiritual high. I heard all the songs that I liked in church and somebody gives a good offertory and now all of a sudden I'm giving because I feel good. That's good, but I don't want to give for that reason. What about when I'm desperate and my last harvest has ran out and I'm kind of to the end and I really need God to move again in my finances? Do I give then? Well, that's good, but I don't want to just give because I feel good. I don't want to just give because I'm desperate. I want to give faithfully. I want to give off of principle. God wants to get us to the place of generosity that we're not sowing because we're in lack. We're not sowing because we feel good. We're not sowing because we're desperate. We're not sowing because, the Apostle Paul says, because you feel obligated. God wants us to get to the place that we're sowing off principle. We sow because we understand the principles and the blessings of God and how His kingdom works and how sowing and reaping works. Yes, if you're desperate, you can sow and you will reap and God will bless you, but don't stay there. Don't stay at the place of desperation. God has so much more. I don't know what it is. Sometimes with us, we're so concerned about the current blessing and the current harvest, we miss the vision that God wants for us. God wants to bless us harvest after harvest after harvest after harvest. Not just this harvest. We have to lift up our eyes and get it just off of the immediate blessing, the immediate bailout. God doesn't want to give you a bailout. He wants to give you a blessing. Amen. Amen. A bailout's like a Band-Aid on what's going on in your life. The only way is to be faithful, be consistent in how we approach sowing. Then we will end well season after season after season. So if we do it, if we sow well, and we see that it's bringing a powerful kingdom return in our life, why would we ever stop? Why would we stop that cycle of sowing and reaping? Why would that happen? Well, if we're seeing that it works, the problem is often that we have too small of a mentality of what God wants to do for us. God wants to do this for us, and we're seeing this. A lot of times, to understand the magnitude of what God wants to do in your life, you have to get into the presence of God so that you can see how He sees you. A lot of times, we're looking at ourselves through a natural mirror, a carnal mirror. We're seeing just what we can logically see. But God wants to show us more. Our perspective on what God wants to do in us and through us is too small. While we're praying for our next harvest, God wants to show us a lifetime of harvests. While we're trying to see the overflow in this season, He wants us to see how we can overflow in every season. And this is where the enemy comes in. The devil wants to come in and sow doubt and distraction. If the devil can come in and sow doubt and distraction, he will. This is one thing that stops a lot of great believers right in their tracks. As you're sowing and you're reaping in each season, you better believe that that lying devil, that enemy's going to come in and he's going to sow doubt and he's going to sow distraction into your life. And he's going to try to do it one way or another. It could be a direct distraction. It could be an indirect distraction. It could be a question of faith, a doubt in the process, a question of principles. Whatever the enemy will do, he'll try to come and sow doubt and distraction. Jesus actually gave a parable that mirrors this in Matthew 13. Now, you can apply this several different ways, but the way I want us to apply it today is when you are sowing the word of God, and you're sowing the things of God, and you're sowing finances, the enemy is going to try to come at the same time in the cover of darkness and sow doubt and distraction. He tries to come when you're not looking, when you're not expecting, when your guard is down, and sow something detrimental into the very place you are expecting a harvest. You're expecting a harvest over here, but you know what? Instead, he sowed a bunch of doubts. And now you have a harvest of doubts and fears and worries, anxieties. Ever been to a place where you walked into a season, you're like, man, I feel like I have like more anxious in this season? Or because the enemy is always sowing fears, anxieties, distractions. And if you don't audit your harvest field, you'll see these things. But while you're sowing the word of God, the things of God, finances, the enemy comes and he tries to sow these things. This always happens. Don't be distracted. Look at somebody say, don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. Look at somebody else say, don't give in to doubt. In the parable, what Jesus basically outlines is that we shouldn't be distracted by the fact that the devil is sowing things. He's always sowing things. But rather, we continue to live by the word of God, sow by the word of God, and guess what? When harvest season comes, we'll sort out all the tares. Right? That's what Jesus says in this parable, Matthew 13. It's the parable of the wheat and the tares. And the other people that are working with the master of the harvest, they come and they say, oh my goodness, your enemy came in. He sowed all these bad things. And the master said, no, don't worry about that. We'll sort it out at harvest time. So often we're so worried about what the devil is doing. You know what? Get your eyes off the devil. Get your eyes on God. Get your eyes on what? Spend less time binding up the devil. Spend more time getting into the presence of God. You know what casts out all fear? Love. You know what casts out every demon in hell? Jesus. All you got to do is get some more Jesus in your life, and it expels the darkness. So I'm focused on the promises of God. I'm focused on sowing what I need to sow. Devil's going to do what he's going to do. He can run around. That's fine. But I'm going to do. He's a defeated foe already. I'm going to do what I know I need to do so that I end well. I'm going to run my race. Look at somebody say, I'm going to run my race. If you're faithful to the word of God, you already know the word is going to be faithful to you. It never returns void. It always does what it's intended to do. So the responsibility actually falls on us to do our part. Say it with me. Do your part. Do my part. See, the covenant works like this, like a circle. God does his part of the covenant. We have to do our part of the covenant. So his word is already waiting there. Jesus said it like this when he walked the earth. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right there in your grasp. All you got to do is do your part. Reach out and grab it. All you got to do is do your part. Sow. The reaping is already going to happen. It's a spiritual law. It will never return void. It will never fail. So if there is some lack that I've been seeing in 2020 in my life, there it's not the part of the word of God. Can I go back and audit and make sure I was obedient with everything I needed to do? And now what do I need to do today to get back on course for my harvest season? What do I need to do today to get myself lined up with the blessing that God already promised at the beginning of the year, that God has already put in your spirit, that God already told us that we would see the overflow, that God already told you some things and you dreamed some dreams and you've had some visions and God has given you a prophetic word. What do you need to sow right now? Relationally, with your time, with your finances, in whatever area that God tells you, what do you need to sow right now that you end well? I want to end well, but I have to be obedient to do my part. The Bible says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. God is already there. He's already the father of the prodigal son. He's already standing there in whatever prodigal area of our life. He's already standing in the driveway. He's already doing his part. He's saying, I'm waiting. Get over here into the blessing. Get over here into the harvest. What is it I need to be obedient? What is it I need to sow? God wants us to end well, but we have to run well. We have to run with the right form. We have to run to win. We have to be faithful, faithful in the sowing, faithful in the reaping, faithful in the process. We have to be obedient to do our part, not stopping the cycle, not getting distracted, not losing focus and doubt. We have to perceive the enemy is trying to kill, steal, and destroy your harvest, your blessing, the vision that God has given you. But God wants to give us his promise of life and life more abundant. He wants to give us his promise of an overflow. He wants to give us a promise of blessing in times of famine. God has a plan for you and I today. The prophet Jeremiah said it so brilliantly in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. Prosper you. Even when the economy is bad, prosper you. Not to harm you, even during health pandemic, not to harm you. To give you hope, to give you a future. I have a plan. I have a design for your life. I have already purposed that you end well." He has a plan that you would end well. Let me pray with you. God, I thank you, Lord, for what is written in your word. Is not that we fail, is not that we come in last place, is that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Your word says that we will be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower, that we'll be blessed in everything we lay our hands to. God, I thank you, Lord, for your word that never fails. And I thank you, God, for your sons and daughters, God, that are hearing this word and being encouraged in their spirit, and that the faith is rising in them right now to end well. God, I thank you, Lord, that they would do their part, because you already desire. God, you desire for your design to be completed in their life. God, I thank you, Lord, for sons and daughters being blessed, that it will be a testimony to the world. God, I thank you, Lord, for the testimony in each and every person in this room right now. God, that you desire to bless them, that they would be a living testimony for you. God, I thank you, God. Give them the strength and the courage to see what you see over their lives. In Jesus' name. And as we're praying, maybe you say, "Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus right now. I need to rededicate my life." Or maybe I need to give my life to Jesus. I never really done that. If that's you, if you say, "I need to make sure that I am in the right place and in the right position with God today," just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are. Amen. 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 If you slipped up your hand, I want to pray with you. If you'll say this prayer with me, and everybody can repeat this. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for forgiving my sins. I'm sorry for every sin, every shortcoming, every failure. I receive your free gift of forgiveness. Jesus, save me. Jesus, lead me. I need you in my life. Teach me how to overcome. Teach me how to end well. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God the praise today. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. To hear more messages like this, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for other episodes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it and share it with friends. For more info or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. Remember, in Christ Jesus, we are one family in faith.